It's on the road again for the Eagles as they head down south to face the Dallas Cowboys in another primetime matchup on Sunday Night Football. Welcome to Eagles Green Zone. I'm Becky Brensinger.
I'm Bob Bumbera. 5 games remaining in a regular season for the Eagles, Becky. And this coming Sunday night, it'll be the Eagles and Cowboys, a chance for rookies and young players to make a mark. One guy who definitely made a mark this past Monday night against Carolina was rookie running back Bryce Brown. We're going to talk about his amazing performance coming up.
And coming up, we're also going to look more into the 1980 NFC Championship game, all here on Eagles Green Zone.
The NFL regular season schedule has the Eagles in another primetime game, this time Sunday night in Dallas against the Cowboys. And hello and welcome to another edition of Green Zone. I'm Bob Bumbera, joined by former Eagle and Super Bowl winner Barrett Brooks and NFL insider Adam Kaplan. As the Eagles coming off a loss to Carolina Monday night, but a couple of great things to focus on, and specifically I'm going to lead with the rookie running back for the Birds, Adam Kaplan, Bryce Brown, a record-setting performance for this rookie running back. Did you expect this from Bryce Brown?
It's funny you say that because I was coming in and people were asking me what I thought he would do. And I said, maybe 80 yards. It all depended on what kind of commitment they made to the running game, because I saw him in training camp, saw him in OTAs. I was like, this kid is a big guy who can move. But you never know, you know, as you played the game, you never know until they get into a live game. And I could not believe how explosive he was. And in fact, I made a comment during the game that I think, believe it or not, he's more explosive than LeSean McCoy, better long speed. That long touchdown run was unbelievable. I mean, 7th-round pick? Are you kidding me? Great job of scouting, obviously.
178 yards on 19 carries, Barrett. And you had to love the way that the line was blocking for him and the fact that, you know, they kept giving a ball to Bryce, kept letting him hit the line.
So what's the nature of the league now? The league is starting to go from that pass-happy league, and teams are having to run the ball. At this point, you look at the teams that are successful, guys are running the ball. You look at the 49ers. They run the ball with Gore. You look at the Texans. You have to have a big back like Dwyer up in Pittsburgh that'll hit it and go and have some breakaway speed when they get out there. This is the way the progression of the league is going, and you have to have a back like that to solidify your offense.
Well, let's talk about, you know, the game Monday night and what made Bryce Brown so successful and what he was doing specifically and what the offensive line was doing together to allow him to really just bust loose. First of all, did you guys expect this kind of performance from Bryce Brown?
Absolutely not. I didn't.
No. In fact, I thought it would be smart if they came out trying to run the football to help the offensive line, to help the defense, which has been struggling, and help the rookie quarterback. But once, and you know this from playing, once an offensive line starts getting off the ball, you can see the confidence. And then you see the running back hit the hole. And the holes that he was getting, I couldn't believe it. You know, the fans are saying, oh, LeSean McCoy never got these holes. Maybe not, but they did against the Panthers. And you know what you love? Brown is so decisive. He runs to daylight, which scouts love. And he sees it, as you said, and he hits it. That is amazing about him. Now the Eagles have to feel great about the running backs for years to come.
A lot was made on some of the issues, the problems the Eagles' defense was having. Earlier this week, the Eagles released Jason Babin. Surprise to you guys, Adam?
Probably not a surprise to me. When you look at his career here, 18 sacks last season, coming off of a monster year, so was Trent Cole, and then the entire defense has undergone this regression, which we've all trying to find answers for, but he's been a big part of it. Not even on pace for half of those sacks, and the Eagles are so deep at defensive end, they might as well get the younger players in there. And then the good thing is, in that game, Vinny Curry probably had something to do with this. He got off the ball, he looked fresh, he's a rookie who they like, who's got a great attitude, who wants to play, who wants to do well. Might as well get him in there.
Yeah, Barrett, talk first about the release of Babin and then the play of Vinny Curry.
Well, if you look at it, this team has become too specialized, especially on the defensive side of the ball. They want to rush the passer, and tackle the running back on the way to it. Well, it hasn't happened, and because of that, that specialization has backed them in a corner where they have to go out and really give these younger guys a shot. And with Babin being, you know, an older type of guy and having Curry play the way he played. He's getting off the ball. He's playing physical. He's going out there to establish himself as a good player. And because of that, they feel as though, you know, Babin was expendable.
Well, guys, despite the loss Monday night, there was a real good feel-good moment when the Eagles inducted a couple of their own into the Eagles Hall of Fame. Of course, I'm talking about Troy Vincent and their longtime ticket guy, a 50-year veteran of the staff, Leo Carlin. Talk about what you think that means, Barrett, to be put into that really select group of people, players, of personnel that have been with the team so long and have meant so much for the team.
Leo's a great guy. He was there when I was there, you know, so Leo's a great guy.
Yeah, he goes back to the 1960 NFL championship team,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. You know, and then I played with Troy. Troy's a great guy. He's really making some noise up at NFL. He's one of the higher executives up there now, you know, so he's definitely a sharp guy. Played very well out of Wisconsin, you know. Really, really good player, and, you know, I got a lot of respect for him.
Yep, Leo Carlin, Troy Vincent honored in the Eagles Hall of Fame. Barrett Brooks, Adam Kaplan, as always, thanks for being on Eagles Green Zone. Let's find out more about Monday night and that ceremony honoring Leo Carlin and Troy Vincent into the Eagles Hall of Fame.
Good evening, everyone. I am thrilled to be here as we honor two great Eagles for their contributions on and off the field. Let's take a look at the career of Leo Carlin.
Once upon a time, the NFL was a growing business, and men like Leo Carlin wore multiple hats with a variety of responsibility.
His legacy is that his passion, and he truly cares about every single individual, whether that's an employee, whether that's a season ticket holder. He literally tries to touch everyone, and his goal is to make sure that they're taken care of and that they're in a good place so that they can cheer on and support their team.
This man is the epitome of loyalty. 53 years and counting with one organization. I don't care if that's sports or any business. That's incredible. But you might think that I'm referring to the loyalty to the team and the organization, the players, the employees, the coaches. That almost goes without saying. What makes Leo truly special is something very far, very different than that and much deeper, which is an incredible loyalty to every fan that ever passed through the gates of Lincoln Financial Field, Veterans Stadium, or Franklin Field.
It's a surreal feeling. I cannot believe that people are gathered together here partly because of me. I mean, I'm here every day, and suddenly it's a whole different atmosphere. I'm absolutely thrilled. I cannot thank Jeffrey Lurie enough. When he made that phone call to me, and I don't know if you know, he called me one warm Thursday evening in July and told me this. I think I bored the life out of him with my thank yous. It was a whole litany of thank yous. And I usually go to bed a little bit early. Well, I was up till 4 o'clock that morning. I just couldn't digest it all. And I'm still that way. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience for me.
Thank you.
Our second inductee earned five consecutive Pro Bowl nods with the Eagles. One of the greatest defensive backs this franchise has ever known. We look back on the all-pro career of Troy Vincent.
He played the cornerback position with the precision of a surgeon. Troy Vincent used an analytical approach that combined with rare athletic ability made him one of the top quarterbacks of his time in the NFL.
He was a great player, but more than that, he's a good guy. He's just a good, astute person, and it means a tremendous amount to me, an awful lot to me.
Tremendous honor when you just think about the few individuals who, that class of individuals in that ring of honor. Never thought about it when I played, and until I got the call from Jeffrey, it's a dream come true. Something that my wife and my children, they've been anticipating this night. So it was a special night for my family. I haven't seen some of my family members and friends here in almost some 15, 20 years.
Once again, I would like to congratulate Leo.
I'm still a little bitter with, there was two games he didn't get me the tickets, my ticket request. Leo, and I see Sue back there in the back, that there was a Giants game and a Cowboys game that still fell short. So
when I think of Troy, I mean, we talk a lot about trying to build a team of high character and the like. Troy Vincent epitomizes the concept of high character.
I want to thank each of my coaches that have played a part in my personal and professional development. And then lastly, I would like to thank you, the best 12th man in football,
Thank you for allowing me to represent you both on and off the field, not just here at home, but across the country.
I can't thank them enough. I think they're the best 12th man in all of football, not just professional football. But they gave me an opportunity to represent them both home and away proudly. They held me accountable both on and off the field, which I can appreciate. They made me become a professional.
Eagles Green Zone is brought to you by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. Dunkin' Donuts, America runs on Dunkin'. And Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
Yes, we are getting down to the nitty-gritty in our search for the greatest Eagle of all time at PhiladelphiaEagles.com/vote. And we bring back Adam Kaplan and Barrett Brooks to look at the big board and the bracket breakdown. And guys, I first want you to look at the winners from last week. And I'm guessing a couple of pretty big upsets here.
Oh, no question about it. Because I think when you look at it, Barrett, Steve Van Buren versus Brian Westbrook, I would have thought, if it was my vote, I would have taken Van Buren. One of the best running backs of all time, but look at the result.
Well, if you look at it, you know, Brian Westbrook is a guy that's, you know, here and now, you know, he's more of a, you know, beginning type of guys right now. And, you know, whoever's voting right now, usually younger generation.
It's the fans. Yeah, it absolutely, it's a younger generation. Now, Tommy McDonald, touchdown Tommy, and David Akers. Akers, to me, the best kicker by far in Eagles history. He's still doing great for the San Francisco 49ers. I would have thought McDonald would have won, but playing to your point, Akers did.
Well, you know, I guess it's the younger generation. They're going out and they're voting at this point. But I tell you what, I'm still a big fan of Tommy McDonald.
And he still lives in the area. In fact, if I were these kids voting, Google it. Figure out who Tommy McDonald was. How could you not? Just because Tommy played for the Dallas Cowboys doesn't matter. But anyway, Bob, that's last week's win.
You know, somewhere I see Ray Dittinger just shaking his head somewhere. All right, so let's look ahead and let's look at the matchups coming up. Brian Dawkins versus LeSean McCoy and Harold Carmichael versus Trent Cole. Let's talk about some of the iconic plays that you think about when you think about each of these four players matched up in bracket breakdown.
All right, so Bob, 1 versus 12, and Dawkins' history, first of all, Weapon X, so many great plays. Algie Crumpler in the championship game when he jacked him up, he hit him right in the chest. That's one of the plays I remember with Dawkins, and obviously the emotion that he showed, just tremendous.
At the end of the day, you think of Brian Dawkins, you think of him being one of the guys that just really was a leader of this team, and they probably need him now.
No question. Leadership is very, very huge. And LeSean McCoy, so many great runs, explosive running back. And the thing that I remember about LeSean McCoy coming out of that 09 draft, everybody wanted LeSean Marino. And what happened? Denver took him in the first round. He's been disappointed. LeSean McCoy now gets a huge contract, one of the best running backs in the league. So he's been a great story.
He understands what this team needs. He goes out and executes. And he has a lot of big plays that he had last year. And, you know, beginning this year, he's starting to get the same thing.
Yeah, he's a great football player. Now, 3 versus 10. Harold Carmichael fades with draws in the end zone. Now, that's how he learned about the fade pass. And Trent Cole, one of the best defensive ends of the last 10 years. There's no question about it. 3 versus 10. Fans will vote on that, but anything come to mind on Harold Carmichael, number 17?
Like I said, at the playoff game against Minnesota, Jaws throws it, and he just makes an immaculate catch. That's what I think. He's got some of the biggest hands I've ever seen in my life, you know, hands even bigger than mine, you know. So Harold Carmichael's a guy that I definitely look up to, and he's definitely a great player.
And Trent Cole, here's how far back I go with this guy, 2005 Senior Bowl. I see this guy, undersized linebacker, outside linebacker. I'm like, well, he can only play in a 3-4. Eagles draft him out of University of Cincinnati, 5th round. I'm thinking, well, we'll see if he makes the football team. Not only to make the football team, probably the best all-around defensive end in the last 8 to 10 years. I said all-around, not best, but all-around. He's a tremendous football player.
Absolutely. You know, and he taught himself how to stop the run. He goes out, he's physical, he establishes the run, but he takes the edge in those corners on those tackles better than any guy in the league at this point, you know. So he can definitely, you know, turn them ankles over, sack players. You know, he's definitely a good player also.
All right, Bob, that's the list. How can fans vote?
Adam, it's PhiladelphiaEagles.com/vote. Vote for your greatest Eagle of all time. Adam Kaplan, Barrett Brooks, thank you very much. A lot of the guys you talk about are in the Eagles Hall of Fame. Well, our own E-Rock has a very special way of talking about what it takes to get into the Eagles Hall of Fame.
This past Monday night, the Eagles organization inducted 2 more members into the Philadelphia Eagles Hall of Fame. And in case you were wondering, yes, That is a huge deal. It's the biggest honor the Eagles can bestow upon somebody. You think it's easy seeing your name up there with the likes of Jaworski, Chuck Bednarik, Reggie White, Randall Cunningham, and Tommy McDonald? Well, let me tell you, it's actually a piece of cake. Just look how Troy Vincent did it. All you gotta do is play 8 seasons with the Eagles, make 5 consecutive Pro Bowls, be named an All-Pro by the Associated Press, rack up 118 starts with 28 interceptions, be one of the league's best all-purpose corners, lead your defense to 3 consecutive NFC Championship games, and I feel like I'm forgetting something. Oh yeah, that's right. Win the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, not only for your stellar contributions on the field, but your unbelievable work to the community off the field through countless hours of charity work. All right, so maybe it's not that easy, but look at it this way. You could always go the Leo Carlin route. All you gotta do to make the Eagles Hall of Fame then is be with the organization for 53 years, be a pioneer in the way the NFL does its ticket operations, and be the first man to integrate ticket sales with computer data, which is like becoming the Mark Zuckerberg of the ticket industry. Oh yeah, and be nominated for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Good golly, is that all you gotta do? Well, turns out it's not so easy. Takes a lot of hard work and dedication, not only to the Philadelphia Eagles organization, but the fans of Philadelphia as well. And that is what being in the Eagles Hall of Fame is all about. It's not only what you do on the field, it's what you do off the field. How you give back to the community, how you give back to the fans. Have you made Philadelphia a better place than when you first got here? And let me tell you, nobody did it better than Troy Vincent and Leo Carlin. Congratulations to the both of you.
A frigid NFC Championship game in the 1980 season featured two bitter NFC East rivals. The Eagles were no longer cellar dwellers and looked to knock the Cowboys off their perennial pedestal. So with this Super Bowl appearance on the line, Wilbert Montgomery carved through the Dallas defense, leaving behind 20 years of fan frustration. We give you Prior to the Snap.
The 1980 season was an historic one for the Eagles as they made their first Super Bowl appearance in franchise history. The team was led by head coach Dick Vermeil, who added new players like quarterback Ron Jaworski and draft picks like defensive back Herm Edwards and running back Wilbert Montgomery to help remodel the team. Montgomery made one of the most prominent plays in team history when he dashed by the Cowboys defense in the NFC Championship game. But we need to take a look back at some of the moments that helped define that famous touchdown run. The Eagles dominated their foes during the 1980 season, winning 11 out of their first 12 games and securing their first division title since 1960. Making the playoffs for the third straight year, Montgomery and the Eagles wanted to capitalize on the opportunity. Philadelphia breezed through the divisional round, trouncing the Minnesota Vikings 31-16, and hosted its first NFC Championship game against their hated rivals, the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas entered the game expecting to beat Philadelphia and move on to their fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. Sensing that the Cowboys were overconfident, the Eagles looked to strike early. But what most people didn't know was that Montgomery was hurt 3 days earlier with a knee injury and wasn't sure if he would be able to play. Louis Giamona, the Eagles' second-string running back, started the game while Montgomery was still inside the locker room. Giamona took a handoff on the opening play while Montgomery, trying to fight off the injury, entered the game on second down. The Eagles lined up with 3 wide receivers, a formation they had passed out of the entire season, and Dallas sent out their nickel package to match Philadelphia. The Cowboys never thought the Eagles would run out of that formation, and that's exactly what Dick Vermeil hoped for. Montgomery took the handoff, darted right, and exploded upfield 42 yards into the end zone, to the delight of over 68,000 screaming fans. Originally called as a run play to the left, Montgomery saw the backside open up and darted through the hole, going untouched for the score. Montgomery went on to run for 194 yards and that touchdown to lead the Eagles to Super Bowl 15. Montgomery was a versatile player that could run, catch, and block. He is still the franchise leader in rushing yards and third in total scrimmage yards. But it was his toughness that January day at the Vet that Eagles fans will remember the most.
Eagles Green Zone is brought to you by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. Dunkin' Donuts, America runs on Dunkin'. And Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
Bob, there were some major upsets in the bracket breakdown this week, and people are probably wondering, what the heck happened?
Well, that's what happens when, you know, we ask you to vote, and you vote for your greatest Eagle of all time, and you don't vote for a Steve Van Buren or a Tommy McDonald. They get bounced, and who's next? Well, you make the call. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/vote. Vote for your greatest Eagle of all time.
And fans, if you have any questions for us or for the players, just tweet us. For Bob Bambera, I'm Becky Brensinger. Thanks for tuning in to Eagles Green Zone.
Hey, buddy.
What did they call us when you first started?
Well, the most interesting season tickets I like were the father and son deal. Now, they were in the, you know, Franklin Field's the shape of a horseshoe. And the two corner ones up here had discount tickets. So the father and the son would come, and one would be half price, okay? And quite often, the father would be 32 and the son would be 28. So you kidding me, buddy?